You know, just before I left home, there were boys and girls running around our house making quite a lot of noise. But I didn't mind it at all. In fact, I enjoyed it very, very much because they were our grandchildren. And it made me just ever so happy to see them in the home and to hear them, no matter how much noise they made. And you know, they spent quite a little bit of time reading storybooks. Do you have storybooks at your house? Well, we have quite a stack of storybooks that are never used until the grandchildren come. And the storybooks they seem to like the very best are storybooks about boys and girls that live in faraway lands. But you know, I've read those stories, and I don't think the stories are true stories. I think they're made-up stories, you know what I mean? Things that never really happened, but they're supposed to entertain the boys and girls who read them. But I'll tell you something that pleased me very much. Every day, these grandchildren of ours would finally put away their books, and they would come over and say, "Grandpa, tell us a Bible story." And they just never seemed to grow weary of hearing the Bible stories, although I know very well they had heard them often before. And sometimes I would try to tell those stories to keep them guessing just what story it was, and they liked that very well, but they pretty soon became too quick for me. And I couldn't disguise any of those stories, but they loved them anyway because, boys and girls, every story in this book is a true story. And I think the very best and most wonderful stories in all the world are the stories in this book, the Word of God. Everyone in it is true. And I want to tell you two stories from this book, The Word of God. Now, those two stories are very, very, very different stories because one happened a long time ago and the other one hasn't happened yet. Now, doesn't that sound rather strange? But I could tell you a true story that hasn't happened yet. Could you do that? Could you tell me a true story that hasn't happened yet? I know very well you couldn't. You could tell me about something that happened yesterday or a week ago, but you cannot tell me a true story that has not happened yet. Now, the two stories that I want to tell you from the Word of God, I thought about last night when I got home from a meeting. And I discovered that after the meeting last night, two children had a little conversation about what they'd heard. And the one was a little bit disturbed because the fellow who stood up here preaching last night shouted so loudly. And she said, "He shouted when he was speaking last night." And the other one said, "Well, that must have been because it was important." Well, I felt better when I heard the answer. And I hope, boys and girls, I hope you remember that there is a time to shout at the top of your lungs as loudly as ever you can. I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to ask you to try it. But I think every one of us at some time or another have shouted just as loudly as ever we could because what we had to say was very, very, very important. Perhaps the person we were talking to was very, very far away, or perhaps we were scared and shouted. Did you ever do that? Shall I tell you about one time that happened to me? Well, I was fishing with a friend of mine in New Brunswick. I think my friends, the Killcups, may know something about this, that along the Atlantic coast of New Brunswick, there are areas where there are what they call honeypots. Now, there are areas that we would call quicksand. And you can tell them as you walk along because there's absolutely nothing growing on them. You'll be walking along a nice green grass, and you'll come to an area where there is nothing but what looks like pleasant, smooth sand. But it's quicksand. They call them honey pots. And this boy named Roland had invited me to go fishing with him. And he said, "Now, Albert, be very careful as you walk along that you don't step in a honey pot." And I said, "What are you talking about?" So he described to me these dangerous areas of quicksand. I don't know whether he exaggerated a little bit, but he told me ever so many stories about folks who had gotten caught in the quicksand. He told me a story about a cow that got in the quicksand and just went right down out of sight. Although they tried hard with ropes and whatnot to get that cow out, it went right down out of sight. And I tell you, by the time he told me three or four of those stories, I was sure I was going to watch out for honeypots. But I got very, very interested in my fishing expedition. And I didn't watch my step carefully enough. And I suddenly found I had 1 foot in a honeypot. Now, what do you think I did? I didn't laugh. I tell you what I did. I threw myself flat on my back as quickly as I could. And can you guess what I did? I shouted. I shouted as loudly as I could, "Help!" And Roland, my friend, was not far away. He came running over, and he pulled me out, although he had to pull hard. And then no sooner did he get me out on the green grass than he just doubled over laughing. He just bent over laughing as loudly as he could laugh. And I didn't feel very happy about that. I said, "Roland, that's not very kind of you after I was stuck in the mud that you would laugh like that." "But Albert, if you'd heard that shout," he said, "I'll never forget the sound of that shout." And you don't blame me, do you, boys and girls? Would you not have done the very same? Would you have looked around and said, "Please help me"? I don't think you would have. I think you really would have shouted for help, especially if you'd heard the stories that I heard. Now, boys and girls, I want to tell you something, and it's very, very, very important. And I want you to listen very, very, very carefully. Because if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if all your sins have not yet been washed away in the precious blood of Jesus, you're in far, far more danger than I was with 1 foot in a honeypot. I was not the least bit ashamed to holler for help, and I'd do the same again. And boys and girls, there's someone who wants not to help you, but to save you. And he wants you this very afternoon, right where you are, right now, not even when this little Sunday school is over, but right now, just to ask him, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own dear Son, to save you, to wash away your many, many sins. Now I wonder if by this time anyone has perhaps guessed the two stories in the Bible about a shout. A shout. Can you guess? That's good. Now, that doesn't happen to be the one I was thinking about, but that is true. This one happened a long time ago, and I'll tell you a little bit about the story, and you put up your hand if you think you know what story it is. It happened far, far away from here. It happened in a city that had a high wall all around that city. Are you going to guess already? What was it? Right you are. It was the city of Jericho. Well done. The city of Jericho, it had a high wall all around it, so high that if you or I had walked around the city, all we would have seen would have been those high walls and those strong gates. We would not have been able to see the houses or the people inside that city because the wall was all around it. But, you know, even though there was a high wall all around it and you and I could not see over the top, There was someone who was watching everything that was going on in that city all day and all night. Every day and every night. Who is it that can see you and me all day and all night? That's right. And he was looking down on that city that we have been told is Jericho, watching what the people were doing, listening to what the people were saying, and God was very grieved because that city was an exceedingly wicked city. Very, very, very wicked. And God's record of what was going on in that city was so black and so sinful that God said, the time has come when the city of Jericho is to be destroyed. And those people in it who are so very, very guilty must die. But you know, boys and girls, God's heart is a heart of love. And he wanted to provide in that city a place of, shall I say, shelter, safety, refuge, and he did. He provided in that guilty, doomed city one place and only one place of shelter from the judgment that was going to fall upon that city. Now, who lived in that one house in the city of Jericho that God set apart as a place of shelter? Rahab was her name. I'm sure you remember this story, that there came two men who were spies to that city of Jericho, and Rahab hid them up on the roof of her house. And when they left, she asked them to make a promise that her life would be spared and the life of her loved ones, her relatives. And you know, they made a promise that was far more broad and wonderful than what she had asked for. They said to her, now, not only your father and your mother and your family, but anyone, whosoever, takes shelter inside this house will be safe from the judgment that is going to fall upon the city of Jericho. Now, another question. Something that your eye could see marked out that house from every other. Something marked it out and perhaps made the neighbors ask what it meant. Can you tell me what it was? A scarlet rope. That's right, a scarlet line hanging out the window. Can you point to something around here that you would call scarlet? Excuse me, please, but would that be scarlet that you're wearing? I think so, wouldn't it? Bright, bright red. Very, very easy to notice. And there it hung from Rahab's window. And I would not be surprised if folks who saw that scarlet line hanging from the window might well say to Rahab, what is this for? What does this mean? And Rahab would tell them, this scarlet line is that which marks out my house as being the only house of safety and shelter in the whole city of Jericho, because I warn you that this whole city and everybody in it is going to be destroyed except those who are in this house that has the scarlet line hanging out the window. I know it happened that the folks looked over the wall one day and they saw the armies of Israel going around that city. And perhaps they felt rather frightened and thought, oh, I wonder if they're going to be able to break in somewhere and fight with us. But you know, the day passed and no one entered the city. And the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day. And I suppose by that time, the people in Jericho began to relax and feel a little more safe. I suppose they may have said, see, they've walked all around this city hunting for a weak spot for 4 days now, 5 days now, and nobody's been able to break through the wall or climb over the wall. We don't need to worry. Nothing is going to happen. We can go on doing the things we always did. We're just as safe as we can be behind these high, strong walls. But you know very well they weren't safe, were they? Every day that passed brought them closer and closer to that one last day when there was going to be in the city of Jericho a terrible, terrible time of destruction. And only those who were in the one house marked out by the scarlet line would be safe. Now, before I go on with that story, I want to tell you a true story. A true story that happened over in the city of Amsterdam in the country of... How's your geography? In what country is the city of Amsterdam? That's too hard a question, isn't it? It's in a country known as Holland. And long ago, that city of Amsterdam had a wall around it, long, long ago. And there came an army against the city of Amsterdam. And they tried very, very hard to break in the gates, to clamber over the walls, but the city of Amsterdam was strongly built. And the men in that city were very brave men. And they held off that enemy for a long, long time. And at last, the captain of the army on the outside was so angry that he said, when I get in that city, I'm going to put everybody in the city to death. I'm not going to spare anyone, man, woman, or child. When I get in, I'll put them all to death. And you know, one sad day, they did break through the gates of that city. And the soldiers came rushing in the city, and the people knew what this meant. They knew that they were not able now to defend themselves any longer. And in the middle of that city, there was a big old stone house. And a lot of people took shelter in that stone house, not knowing what to do, not knowing how ever they would defend themselves when finally the soldiers reached that big strong house. They knew very well that the soldiers could break down the door and put them all to death. But there was one boy in that house who suddenly thought of a plan. And he went out into the backyard where he had a little pet goat, a kid. And he brought that little kid in. And because it was his pet, he found this very hard to do. But he did it. He took his own little knife. And he killed that little kid, and he caught its blood, and I'll tell you what he did. Now listen carefully. He splashed the blood on the door. He splashed it on the front porch. He splashed it down the front steps and out the walk, right out to the front gate by the road that passed the house. And he even let some trickle out under the door onto the front porch. And then he said to all this crowd of people in the house, now, when the soldiers come, let's all keep perfectly quiet. Remember now, don't whisper, don't move, don't say a word, and it may be that we shall be safe. Pretty soon they heard the soldiers coming, and they heard the sound of their feet, and they heard the screams of some of their neighbors as they were put to death. And then the soldiers turned up the walk, up the steps, onto the porch, and banged on the door. And what do you think the folks inside did? Did they start to laugh? Huh? Did they decide to play some games? No, they didn't. They were just sitting there afraid to move, afraid to whisper. They kept absolutely silent, and they listened to what was going on outside. And finally they heard one of the soldiers say, look at all this blood. They must be all dead already in this house. Some of the soldiers have gotten here ahead of us. See all the blood coming out under the door, down the walk. And they banged again on the door and listened and heard not a sound. And they went away. And they left the folks sheltered and alive in that home. I have a picture at home of that house. And carved on the stone above the door is a picture of a little goat, a little kid. And underneath, written in Dutch, it says, 10,000 fears. I believe that means that in that house, sheltered by the sprinkled blood of that little goat, were people whose hearts were filled with fear, but they were sheltered. The soldiers did not get them because that little goat had died. That blood had sheltered them from the sword of those fierce soldiers. Now, boys and girls, I want to tell you that this is a very, very, very solemn afternoon for you and me, because someday, and I want to make this as plain as ever I can, these dear boys and these dear girls, every one of you, are going to face the God who knows all about you, the God who has said that he is going to pour out judgments from heaven upon this world, and he wants you right now to be sheltered by the blood of, can you tell me? The blood of Jesus. I'm going to sing a question, and then I want just the children, please, to sing the answer. I think you know what the question is going to be. You'll know as soon as I start to sing it. And as soon as I sing the question, will you please sing the answer? What can wash away my sins? Oh, let's try again. You can do better than that. Come on now. What can wash away my sins? Come on. That's right. Nothing, boys and girls, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, the last day came for the city of Jericho, and outside the walls, I'll read you what it says in the book of Joshua. If you can find it in your Bible, please turn to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpet. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. There came that last moment, boys and girls, when there was a sound of a trumpet and a sound of a shout, and Jericho's long day of grace was ended. The judgment fell upon that guilty city, and only those who were in the house of Rahab, marked out by that scarlet line, which I believe is a picture of the precious blood of Jesus, only those in that house were sheltered and safe from the judgment. Do you know there's a shout coming very, very soon, and I'm going to hear that shout. I was visiting with someone the other day whom our brother Eric Pilkington knows very well, Brother Anderson too, Sister Ben. And I was really pleased with what she had to say when I was visiting her. She shook her head and said, "Brother, just the shout and the blow." That's what she was waiting for. Just the shout and the blow. That's what she was waiting for. The shout and the sound of the trumpet that dear old sister was waiting for. Now, boys and girls, there is going to be the sound of a shout. There is going to be the sound of a trumpet. And it will be the last moment of grace for this poor world. The judgments of God will fall. But I'll tell you something. If that shout came right now, I would not be here. I would be gone. And I want to remind you, boys and girls, that though you may have been brought up in a Christian home, and though you may know all about the precious blood of Jesus and have heard of it and sung of it over and over again, you are not sheltered. You are not safe. The judgment will fall upon you unless you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You know, one time I was in the gospel tent in New Brunswick, and just before going into the tent, I had stopped at a mud puddle and dipped my hands in that mud puddle and rubbed them together until they were just filthy dirty, just covered with mud. And I stood up in front of the boys and girls and held up my dirty hands and said, "Boys and girls, are my hands clean or dirty?" Well, they all immediately said, "Sir, they're very, very dirty." Well, I had arranged this beforehand. A young fellow whose name was Bruce promptly walked up to the front and sat down in front of me on the table, a basin of water and a cake of soap and a towel. Now listen carefully. And then he walked away. And I looked at that water and I looked at that soap and I looked at that towel and I held my hands behind my back and I said, "I really believe that this water and this soap is just what I need to make my hands clean." And then I held them up before the boys and girls and said, "Are they clean now?" Well, of course they said, "No, sir, they're just as dirty as ever." So I put them again behind my back and I said, "Bruce, thank you very much for bringing up to me this water and this soap and this towel." And I picked up the soap and smelled it, and it smelled so nice. And I looked at the water and I told them what nice, fresh, clean water it was. Then I held up my hand again and I said, "Are my hands clean or dirty?" "Sir," they said, "they're still very dirty." And I said, "Well, what's wrong? Is there anything wrong with the water?" "No." "Anything wrong with the soap or the towel?" "No." Well, I said, "Why are my hands not clean?" Well, by this time they thought there was something wrong with me. And they said, "Sir, you have to put your hands in the water and wash them." So while they were watching, I picked up the soap and I washed my hands. I dried them on the towel and held them up and I said, "Are they clean or dirty?" They said, "They're clean now." And I said, "Boys and girls, listen to me, please. You know the answers. You know John 3:16. You know what can wash away my sins. But I wonder, have you really had your heart cleansed from those stains of sin by the precious blood of Jesus? He's just waiting this very moment to wash away those sins and shelter you and me from coming judgment." Now the last shout story that hasn't happened yet. I'm going to ask a hard question. I'm going to start to quote, and I'm going to ask you if anyone here can tell me where I'm quoting from. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Do you really know? Tell me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I don't know if you can find that, but you just let me read it, will you? If you can, it's 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. And here, boys and girls, is the story that is true but has not yet happened. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Oh, I like the sound of that. It just seems to me to mean that the Lord Jesus is just so glad to be able to come at last and give the shout that will call home to himself every boy and every girl, every man and every woman who is sheltered by the precious blood of Jesus. And at the sound of that very wonderful shout, what would happen in this meeting room? I'll tell you what would happen. If this very afternoon, if while we're still sitting here, this story suddenly happened, there would be a shout. There would be the sound of a trumpet. And immediately, from this meeting room, starting right here with Novelli, and going all the way around, right back here to myself, every boy and every girl, every man and every woman whose heart is cleansed from the stains of sin by the precious blood of Jesus, in that one twinkling of an eye, we would go home to be with the Lord Jesus in his glorious and wonderful home forever. But if there is a girl, if there is a boy, if there is anyone here who perhaps knows all about these verses we have spoken of, perhaps knows all about the value of the precious blood of Jesus to wash away your sins, but you've never yet trusted him, You've never yet come to him and told him, Lord Jesus, here I am with all my sins, and I want them washed away this very afternoon. You've just never done that. You intend to do it someday, but not yet. Oh, boys and girls, at the sound of that shout, you would not go. You would be left behind. And then the most terrible judgment would begin to fall upon this poor, guilty world and upon those left behind in it. Would you like to be left behind? I tell you, I wouldn't. I tell you, I wouldn't want to be left behind. I remember one time at Sunday school back home in Ottawa, where I grew up as a boy, they had a little treat for the Sunday school in the month of February, I think it was. It was very, very cold. I think it was February. And when the little treat was over and we were going out the door, there were two men standing there, one on either side of the door, one with a big crate of oranges, another with a big box full of bags of candy. And you know what they did as we went out the door? They offered us each an orange, which is quite a treat in Canada, and a bag of candy. Now, I was only a little boy. What do you suppose I did when they offered me the orange? I took it, I sure did, and what do you think I did when they offered me the bag of candy? I took that, too. And as soon as I got home, I opened the bag of candy. I can just picture yet doing it. And I dumped it out on the table, and I was looking it all over to see how much homemade candy was in it. I liked that a lot better than the hard candy. And I was very, very pleased with what I found in that bag of candy. And Mother was there, and she said, Albert, where did you get these? And I said, well, Mr. Dawson offered me the orange, and Mr. Hume offered me the bag of candy. And you took them both? And I said, well, yes, they offered them to me. And she said, did they offer you anything else? And I said, no. Are you sure, Albert? Did they offer you anything else? And I suddenly knew what Mother meant. And I hung my head. Because, boys and girls, I was offered an orange, and I took it. I was offered a bag of candy, and I took it. But I was offered something else. Do you know what else I was offered? I was offered the Lord Jesus Christ to accept as my Savior, and I went home with an orange. I went home with a bag of candy, but I went home without Jesus as my Savior. I'm ashamed to tell you that, but I'm glad to tell you that I had a mother that cared that much for me. And I know she went off to a room and prayed that her boy Albert might someday accept Jesus. And I'm so glad I did. Oh, boys and girls, when I look at you this afternoon, if someone offered you a little gift, I think you'd all reach out and take it. Remember, please, the Lord Jesus this very afternoon is offering you himself as your Savior. He loves you. He died for you. And when we think of that shout that may happen at any moment, a shout that will cause you and me who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior to be immediately with him forever, would you be left behind if that shout came this afternoon? Now, don't you go to bed tonight till you can answer that. When that shout comes, when the Lord Jesus returns, are you sure? Are you sure that in that moment he'll take you up there to be with him too?